All right, we have Parsha Zemar is very rich, and obviously it's most famously the Parsha of the Moadim. But in that Parsha of the Moadim, we have about the Korban Omer. The Korban Omer in a certain... So it's always good to talk about the Korban Omer, because Parsha Zemar always comes out in the middle of the Omer, right? So the Korban Omer, in a certain sense, is the least impressive of all Korbanos Mincha, meaning... tied with the Mincha Sota, right? What makes the Korban Omer and the Mincha Sota so unique? It's the Mishnah identifies them as specifically being made from barley, right? That these are the so the Mishnah specifically calls the Korban Sota as the Keshem Shema Aseh Maisa Behema Kach Korban Meichel Behema. That the reason her korban is made from barley is because barley is a meichel behema, so she deserves, you know, the woman who acts like an animal should have a korban that that feeds an animal. So the only other korban, the only other mincha that's made of barley is the korban omer. And, you know, barley, until we discovered how delicious it is in Chalent, it was always assumed to be an animal food, right? Meaning it's only a recent discovery that we realize that it's better than beans and chalent, but it was always assumed to be an animal food, and yet despite that, the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra Rabbah says that you should never allow a korban omer to be kala be'inenu. You cannot take the korban omer lightly because Avram Avinu was only zocha to receive Eretz Canaan in the merit of the korban omer, that only in the zchus of the korban omer that would one day be brought in Eretz Yisrael. That's the zchus that Avram Avinu had to have Eretz Yisrael. Now, first of all, what's so special about it, especially considering that it seems to be the opposite of special, but also what's the connection to Eretz Yisrael? Like, why would the Korban Omer be connected, Dafka, that's the Zuchus of all the Korbanos, that's the Zuchus through which we get Eretz Yisrael? So that's question number one. Question number two, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Siluko kisiduro. That at the end of the regalim, before everyone would go back home, everyone who was all the regal, before they would go back home, the Kohanim would take the 12 lechem apanims off the shulchan and show how fresh they still were a week after being baked. Right? If you think about it, what an amazing miracle that is. You leave bread out for a whole week and it gets very stale. But this is a much bigger miracle than that, because this wasn't bread. It was lechem apanim. Lechem apanim was matzah. So it was, you know, if you ever eat Sfardi matzahs, I get Sfardi matzah every year. Like it comes with a whole instruction. You need to leave it in the freezer until an hour before you, or 2 hours before you want to eat it. Then you take it out, then you let it defrost, and then you warm it in the oven. Why? Why can't you just leave it out the whole time? Because it was dough that never rose. And if it's thick and it never rose, then it's just going to be a brick. I don't mean that like my daughter calls me a brick. I mean it's just going to be hard to bite into, right? So can you imagine the lechem apanim is a tefach tall. Lechem apanim is a tefach tall, and it's matzah. So it's just going to be hard like a rock. And now they're taking it off and it's soft and it's fresh as if it just came out of the oven. So it was a way of expressing, Ru'uchi baschem lefnei ha-makom. Look how much Hashem loves you. Now, it's a funny way for Hashem to show his love, meaning like of all the things that, you know, the lasting message of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael is with bread on the shulchan. Like, what's the story with that? Why would that be the message of Hashem's love for the Jewish people? And a third question, probably the most famous question, Sefer Chinuch asks why it is that we count Sfira in the reverse order of what you'd expect to count. I mean, we count from 1 up to 49. Whenever you're counting toward anything else in life, you're always counting down. Right? You count the days until summer vacation. School children count down, they don't count up. Right? How many days there are left to school. A chassan and kala, or their friends with those ridiculous pictures, counting toward the wedding, right? So they're always counting down. They're not counting up, right? Meaning, why would counting toward the most impactful event in all of human history specifically be done by counting up and not by counting down? So I think the yisod to answer all these questions is the same. There's an expression that people often tell their kids when they're worried about the child feeling that something was not distributed fairly. So they say, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. Right? So one could question the wisdom of that statement, whatever, that's not for now. But I would like to suggest an alternate a formulation. If you can't thank Hashem for what you wanted, then you should thank Him for what you have been given. Meaning, I may have wanted a certain thing. I didn't get that thing. But I should still thank Hashem for what He did give me. You know, we sometimes have very, very lofty goals and aspirations and hopes and dreams. And we know what we want. We know what we want to have. We know what we want to achieve. And sometimes it takes a lot of time to achieve those goals. Sometimes we become so fixated on those goals that we can't enjoy the more moderate successes along the way. We can't enjoy the little things that we got along the way. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I was always a Yankees fan. And there was always, you know, if you're a Yankees fan, it was always understood. There's one goal at the beginning of the season. Derek Jeter used to say this when I was an adult. I wasn't a kid when Derek Jeter, but he used to always say that, you know, on the first day of spring training, what's your goal? To win the World Series. If we don't win the World Championship, the season's a failure. The season's an absolute failure. If the team provided you with a lot of entertainment over many wins along the way and then loses in, I don't know, the ALCS or something, they call that a failure. That's not the way one should look at the world and at life. That, like, they had a fun time. That, you know, it was, how many fathers brought their sons to their first baseball games that year? How many exciting moments? How many high fives with random strangers were there along the path? I don't know. There was a good time along the way. You know, they gave whatever they can give you. You know, if your team loses in Game 7 of the World Series, they gave you maximum entertainment, right? They gave you for the maximum amount of time that they could give you. So there were a lot of small successes along the way. It's not the way a person is supposed to look. It's hard to be a positive person if you can't appreciate small successes. It's hard to be a positive person if you think that anything less than exactly what you wanted to achieve is not worthy of celebration. Rav Bednarsh pointed out that the Korban Omer is special, and it serves as the zechus through which we're blessed with Eretz Yisrael, precisely because it's made with barley, precisely because it's made with this animal fodder. No farmer wants to grow barley. That's not what he's looking forward to. The farmer's goal is to grow wheat. That's what feeds his family. That's what's going to make him his money. That's what's going to give him a nice living. The wheat harvest, though, comes later. In the meantime, till the wheat comes in, he's got to have something. So he takes the barley that he grows and he expresses gratitude for that in the meantime, to hold him over until he has the wheat to be grateful for. He doesn't yet have what he wants. He doesn't yet have the goal. But he can celebrate and he can appreciate what he's got. And maybe that's the connection to Eretz Yisrael. You know, for many years of Jewish history, we imagined that the return to Eretz Yisrael was going to happen in the following way. We'd be sitting in Poland or Hungary or Russia, depending on where your ancestors are from, and giant or Morocco or whatever, you know, like Sephardim too, and giant eagles would swoop down and bring us to Eretz Yisrael, where the third Beis HaMikdash was just going to descend from Shemayim. Now, as it turns out, apparently that wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to take us on the wing of eagles from Poland. Hashem gave us a state, and He gave us some wars, and then He gave us Har HaBayis B'Yadeinu, and then some more wars, and then some lot of growth in Ruchnius and Gashmius, and then more losses, Rachman al-Islan, and more growth in the population and in the achievements of Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So our appreciation for Eretz Yisrael should mirror our appreciation for the Korban Omer. As we anticipate one day receiving what we really, really want, which undoubtedly, and that's is B'yas HaMashiach, right? Undoubtedly, that's what we really, really want. Every now and then, we should thank Hashem for what we've got. Every now and then, we should thank Hashem for what we've achieved to this point. Rav Rimon likes to say that he often thinks about if you could have been asked, if someone could have been asked thousands of years ago, what generation would you want to live in? What generation? Like, what would be the greatest generation? So, generation of Rabbi Kiva, with that kind of persecution, what generation would you want to live in? The Jews were always second-class citizens. We always had, you know, the first little bit of bias Rishon, maybe. But can you imagine being in a generation where kibbutz galios happens in front of your eyes? where it's like so obvious. Rabbi Reisman, who we met this week, pointed out that you have to be blind not to see Kibbutz Galios. Just look at the numbers. How many Jews were in Eretz Yisrael in 1900? How many more in 1930? How many more in 1960? How many more in 1990? Just follow the numbers. It's exponential. It's an obvious Kibbutz Galios. Is it exactly what we pictured? Is there a Beis HaMikdash, you know, in Yerushalayim right now, or the extended Yerushalayim, wherever the Beis HaMikdash is going to be? That's a different story. But no, we're not quite there yet. So we thank Hashem for what we got. The message of the bread is that it's something that's expected to have turned stale with the passage of time. So it would seem to have been a lost opportunity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates that the path of Jewish history is such that as time goes on, we're building toward a greater miracle. The bread is not eaten right away. It wouldn't take a miracle for it to be eaten right away. You're beloved in that Hashem is waiting for the right time to feed you. That Hashem didn't let the bread go stale. He's just waiting for the right time to feed you that bread. And that might also be why we count up toward Shavuos. When we count down, what we're demonstrating is that it's all about the goal. No one looks back fondly and says, you know, it was great 4 days before my wedding. It was about getting married. It was about the goal. It wasn't about, people often describe the period of engagement as like the worst kufa in their lives. But it's about when you count up, you appreciate all the milestones along the way, right? People count birthdays up. They don't count birthdays down. Well, it would be hard. You know what I'm saying? I'll work with the assumption of 120. So then it's like 119, 118, whatever. My wife told me she read a book, I think, about something like that, where every kid came was born with a timer. And like, you know, like what an expiration date. But okay, so we count birthdays up because we can celebrate, you know, Ben Sholosh Esrei LeMitzvos. We can celebrate Ben Arba'im Labina. You know, you'll get there. You can celebrate Ben whatever I am for indigestion and whatever progressive lenses. But you know, you could celebrate these successes along the way. So the avoda of Svira and the avoda of a Jew, especially. During Tekufos and Eretz Yisrael, which are particularly challenging, is to realize that we don't have what we want yet, but each step along the way is valuable, and we have to appreciate what we have. And when we do that properly, in life in general, one day we're going to be blessed to achieve some of those long-term goals, we'll be able to look back at the formative steps with great pride, that that as those formative steps were happening, we appreciated what they were, and we appreciated Ru'uchi Baschem Lifnei HaMakom.